Good morning, everybody. I'm Bill Dance. If you love fishing as much as I do, you're really going to like listening to my old buddy, Luke Clayton, for the next hour.
Thanks, Bill. This is David Fox, and welcome to Outdoors with Luke Clayton and Friends. Luke has been a recognized outdoors writer for the past 3 decades and writes for a host of outdoor publications. Luke pens a weekly newspaper outdoors column that appears in over 40 Texas newspapers and is on the pro staff of Gearhead Archery, Air Force Air Guns, Sightmark, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, and feel free to contact Luke through his website, catfishradio.org. Now let's join Luke and his guest for this week's show.
Well, Dave, thank you, sir, for that nice introduction. Mr. Wysoon is standing by over here to be with us in just a bit, and we're going to embark on Campfire Talk. And Campfire Talk is brought to us by Mr. Paul Tibbett, Signature Properties up there at Lake Fork, where you can get whatever type of real estate you're looking for. The 22.5 Mechanical Frog. You might remember 25 years ago the Mechanical Frog that came out. Well, it's back. Check it out there online. You can go online to mechanicallure.com and check that frog out. And also brought to us by Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun related. And Mr. Wysoon, also brought to us by
DSC, the Dallas Safari Club, Conservation Education, Hunter Advocacy, Texas Raised Hunting Products, which is now known as TRHP Outdoors, and they make the fabulous scent Guardian, Hornady, accurate, deadly, dependable, and also now by Taurus, makers of the Raging Hunter revolver handgun that I've been using for a while. And I'll tell you what, Luke, I can't wait to get you started shooting that gun as well, too.
I'm ready, buddy. I am. You know, that's going to be so much fun. Anything new and different, and that's kind of new to me, you know, is fun. Get on some of those hogs down at Jeff's or whatever, you know. I know you've shot the handguns for many years, haven't you, Larry?
You know, I really have, and I'm really excited about being able to use their gun. You know, most of their guns now are made over in Georgia, and years mm-hmm. they passed, they were made down in South America. But I had a chance to shoot that gun not too long ago at the FTW Ranch. I was there for one of their new hunter courses where I teach the biology and that kind of thing for that mm-hmm. those classes. But absolutely great bunch of people and a fabulous gun. And you mentioned something new. I want to go back to something you and I did here with Jeff just a few days ago that was kind of new, and that was you just wrote an article about it, I think, too, for one of the newspapers about catching them, and then you do what with them?
Well, usually you catch them and cook them. Or usually I catch something and cook it. But, yeah, we can talk about, folks, Larry's talking about our buddy Jeff Rice, that he puts together our Sportsman's Life each week. Each of us do a little filming, and Jeff assembles the show. And we meet about once a month, Jeff and Larry and myself, we get together and mostly just have a big time, a lot of fun. But we also do filming and do catch up on our filming for A Sportsman's Life. So we were down at Jeff's. He's got a place there on the upper end of Lake Fork, lots of hogs, creek fishing. He's got a little pond. And Larry, let's tell him about how that unfolded. You know, how the 2 days up there, I had a ball, and I know you did too.
I really did too. You know, we tell people all the time that everything that we do, whether it's for Sportsman's Life or here or, you know, podcasts we do together, it's totally unscripted, and things have a tendency to change. And so I think it started out what was going to be a hog hunt, and I didn't bring any firearms or anything with me, and we got talking, and next thing you know, well, let's put out a trot line and let's bait a hog trap and let's fish the pond kind of thing. And I'll tell you what, you talk about you'd taken a hog some time ago and had some hog liver, so that was in the freezer. So we had a chance to bait the trot line real quickly, which, and I'll let you carry on from there with the trot line, and then we'll get to the hog trap and stuff.
Yeah. Well, we were sitting around camp, and you know, it's one of the very few times that you or I or Jeff didn't decide to go hunt. It was hot, it was humid, the mosquitoes were buzzing, and we were sitting, and I said, how about let's bait this hog trap. Now, I've got a little aluminum hog trap that I've had for 12 or 14 years. Weighs 52 pounds, and we had it stuck back in the woods, not baited, of course. The door was off of it, and I thought, well, let's bait it up. So this is the way it kind of unfolded, you know. So, okay, that sounds good. Let's do that. So I thought the chances were fair of getting a hog. You know, a lot of times you have to bait a trap a day or two before they find it, but there's so many hogs up there, Larry, you know.
Yes.
I mean, so what we did, we found a little, I usually use, for the trigger, I usually use a 60-penny nail, big old nail,
right,
spike. Well, I didn't have one. This was just an instant thing. We wound up using, I think, a 10-penny nail, you know, just
yeah,
a little bitty nail.
Smaller than what you normally would.
Yeah, a little bitty nail, you know, for that purpose, to set the trigger on it. Well, it was just you talking about a hair trigger, that thing, that little nail was just barely hanging on there. And I was afraid if a hog just breathed close to it, it would trip it, and they'd never get in. But it was set. We had a guillotine-type door. Little trap's about 30 inches wide by 5.5 foot long. So we had it all set down, anchored down where they couldn't pull it up. There's no floor in it. Then Jeff took a string of corn and ran it a pretty good ways, probably 100 feet or more, to
oh, yeah,
a hog trail. And we all knew that once the hog picked up on that corn, he was going to follow it eat it all the way to the trap, you know. So that was done. We had the trap set. Then, Larry, it's time. This whole thing was about catch and release, as it turned out. So then we were going to go and set the trot line and catch some catfish to stock in Jeff's pond, which is up by the camp, which is perfectly legal in Texas if the fish are caught legally, of course.
Right.
It's okay to put them in private waters. That's in Texas only, you know. Other states too, but definitely if you're in another state, check that out. But it's legal
right
in Texas. So I had a trot line out. We had some pork liver, and we baited that line, Larry. Got that line all baited, and then we're back to camp. Eating a little supper, you know, kick back, relaxing. We had a couple of things working for us, and we were taking it easy at the camp, weren't we?
Yes, we were.
Okay. All right.
And like you, I mean, I could not wait to go back and check it.
I know
that
it.
Trot line. I mean, I kind of grew up with trot lines and drop lines and
mm-hmm.
all those kind of things. So, and that little old creek there running in the park is a that's a little fish highway.
It is. So we did run the line, and we got some more catfish to stock in Jeff's pond. And we put the next day after we left, they moved the fish feeder up there on the pond. And now there's probably 45 nice channel cat in that little, it's just a small
mm-hmm.
pond, but it's deep. And so our goal was to, when you go up and we may not need 10 catfish for a little fish fry, we might need 2 or 3. So want to be able to, when you're up there with us or whatever, we want to eat fish, we won't worry about it. We'll just catch them right out of the pond. You know, that's the reason we decided to do that. So, Larry, let's fast forward to the next morning, and I'll let you tell about, we're sitting around drinking coffee outside there. I'd brewed up a good pot of coffee outside, and your ears and my ears are not quite as keen as Jeff.
No, not as quiet.
Tell us what happened next.
I know that I heard Jeff say, "Did you hear that squealing?" And I couldn't hear anything. He said, "It's second, I hear that squealing." Oh yeah, I hear that squealing. I had no.
Yeah,
I didn't hear anything
yeah.
like that. But then there was another time it squealed, and then you picked up on it as well.
Finally.
Too, and then I could hear it as well too. We thought, "Well, my gosh, the only reason the hog would squeal and it sounded like the same spot, you know, I bet we got a pig in the trap, or maybe two,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they're kind of pushing each other around." So we finished our coffee and got in that little buggy of Jeff's and eased down in there, and as we got close to the trap, yep, no doubt there are pigs in the trap. We get a little bit closer, and there's not one pig, not two, but four pigs.
Four.
Looked like it probably weighed, what, about anywhere from about 35 to maybe 40, 50
yeah,
pounds.
Yeah,
like
no bigger than 40 pounds, I wouldn't think, you know.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and well, and then, and yeah, and when I heard, it's not normal for one hog to be squealing in a trap. They just don't, I don't know why they don't, but they don't. So I thought, well, maybe there's two, you know, like you said, bumping into each other and rooting around and then squealing. Well, there was four. And and the bars on this trap were just the vertical bars on the door of the trap spaced just right where a hog could trying to hit it and wedge their heads in there. Three of those, nothing cruel about it. I mean, the hogs were perfectly healthy.
They were trapped.
They were trapped in a trap, and then their heads were through these bars. And, you know, the way a hog's head is built like a wedge, those jaws, you know, when they pull their head back, they couldn't, they were trapped. And so we tried, and all this is on video. And probably a sportsman's life is probably, Jeff has probably got it assembled right now where you can watch it on YouTube or Roku, whatever, a sportsman's life. But I like our friends to watch this. So, man, then it was pandemonium. You know, we wanted those. And we had to all travel. We didn't have time to be butchering hogs. We just couldn't that day. That was the bottom line.
You know, we thought, well, maybe if we catch, you know, one small one, it'll be easy to do something with, and we'll put them in the, you know, in the freezer there at Jeff's. Next time we come down, we'll just roast them whole kind of thing. But we had four of them in there. Then we realized there were two of them that had their heads stuck wedged between these bars, and we were finally able to open it up a little bit and got one of them out, and talking about one that was free inside the trap, and then the second one that was free in the trap came out, and then we started trying to get the dead gum two hogs that had their heads stuck between the bars out, and it wasn't easy. We tried everything for a while, didn't we?
Yes, and I said, you know, if we had, I was thinking, a sledgehammer. If we had a sledgehammer, I remember saying this week, if I had a big hammer, and then Larry disappears, and he comes back with a claw hammer. That was in
the buggy.
In the buggy. And
then there's got to be something there we could use.
And there was, and you figured it out. So there's about five hard whacks on that bar, and then the hogs jerked their head back, and as soon as they got their head back, they were out of the trap and galloping through the woods. Now, for all of our hog people that's thinking, well, why didn't y'all shoot all those hogs and rid the landscape? Here's the truth of the matter. We didn't have time to – this is a – personal perspective. There's no way I was going to waste all that pork and just shoot them and leave them in the woods. It wasn't going to happen. but those hogs, Larry, we've got these stealth trail cameras, and we're watching them. Those four have been hitting a feeder, and I've seen them in there on the camera, another feeder, since. They were probably a litter mates, you know?
Yes.
They're all the same size, so they're still coming. Let those rascals get another... Next time we go down there, they'll pack on a little more pork. Now they're destined for the grill.
They are.
there's more. That's catch and release. Okay, I know it's unconventional to release hogs, but that's the way it happened. So we had wound up, and one thing that we forgot that we also caught and released, Larry, was a soft shell turtle.
A soft shell turtle, exactly. After we finished our little hog. We went down to the trot line, and sure enough, there was a pretty good size. What do you think that thing weighed? Probably 15 pounds more?
I bet.
Or at least 10 to 15, looking at the size of big old soft-shell turtle.
That's it. Well, Larry, we had time. I wasn't sure if we'd have time to tell the whole story, but we made it in our campfire talk this week. So I tell you what, I guess we need to kick the coals on the fire for this week, but I'm making plans to meet you right back here, and you're going to be with us this time next week, right?
Yes, sir.
Yep, folks, Larry has been with us every week for the past 13 years, and we're looking forward to the next 13 years. I want to leave two websites with you right here, folks, and I want you to check them out. UltramaticFeeders.com. My buddy Carl Harmon makes the best line of game feeders in the world. I've used them for, 18 or 20 years now. If you're interested in shooting powerful big bore air guns, hunting with them, the Texan by Air Force Air Guns cannot be beat. I've used them since they actually came out. AirForceAirGuns.com. You can check them out right there. Of course, they have 25 calibers, 22 calibers, lighter calibers, but that Texan is a powerhouse, and I want you to check it out.